Beware the light that shows the way. Trust not the wart-skinned toad. In his realm, no night or day. Fool, stay to the road. That's it. You see, it mentions us again. Fool. I don't suppose you happen to know what place the rhyme means, what?
Stonehead got up and paced about a bit. One of the babes gave his leg a drowsy bite as he passed, and he cuffed the sleeping infant affectionately.
Wouldn't like to be a Flitcheye when she grows up. Wonderful little battler. Yes, of course, I know the place your poem mentions. You and your friends want the swamp dark. I'd never go there myself. Rotten place. I'll take you there in the morning. Now get some sleep now, rabbit. You're quite a good singer, and never have time for such nonsense myself. Sooner have a good, clean fight. Must warn you, though, if you start warbling and wake me wife up, she'll probably rip your leg clean off. She's not named Thunderbeak for nothing, you know. Sleep well. Good night.
Tarquin put his herdalina carefully aside and lay down, gazing around at the dark, dripping forest and the six savage owls in slumber.
Blow me! I'd never take Hon Rosie picnicking to this place.
What's that, rabbit? Did you say something?
No, old bean. Just good night.
Good night. Now shut up and sleep, or else.
Cabool the Wild was not affected by sleep anymore. He was driven night and day by an insane nervous energy, roaming the rooms of Fort Bladegate. The non-arrival of Greypatch was preying upon his mind, though he did not doubt that his traitorous captain would show up sooner or later. The King of Sea Rats now began hoping that Greypatch would be brought back alive. He descended a winding stairway, muttering and chuckling to himself.
Nah, don't kill him. It's too quick for me old shipmate Greypatch. Gaboo's got something nice for him. A surprise. Aye, Greypatch will remember old Scrabblag. I was captain of the Ratwake, and he was mate when we brought Scrabblag from the warm isles in the deep seas to the south. Good old Scrabblag. Let's see if you're still alive and foul-tempered.
Still laughing to himself, the Mad King reached the bottom of the steps. He entered a side room and took a spear from its wall hanger. At the centre of the room was a circular stone with a thick iron ring attached. Gaboul thrust the spear through the ring and levered the stone upward. Sliding it to one side, he took the spear and crouched over the hole in the floor.
Scrabblag! Matey! It's me! Gaboul! Sing out! Are you there?
There was no reply. Gaboul jabbed down into the inky darkness with the long spear. There was a dry rustling sound, accompanied by an odd clicking noise. The sea rat grinned.
Ah, you murderous villain. I can hear you. What's it like down there, living on rotten fish heads and scraps of dead seabird?
The rustling and clicking increased. Something caught the spear blade, but Gaboul pulled it back quickly.
Ho-ho! Not so fast, bucko! I know you'd like to drag me down there, but you bide your time, and old Gaboul will give you a little gift. Remember Greypatch? Aye, he was the one that helped catch you and take you from your nice warm island to this cold, dark berth. Well, you stop down there and think what you'd like to do to Greypatch. Pretty soon now, I'll let him drop in and pay you a call. You'd like that, wouldn't ya?
The clicking and rustling increased. Gaboul laughed heartily as he slid the stone back into place with the spear. Outside, the wind moaned around the rocks of Terramorth and the stones of Bladegate. The restless sea pounded coves and inlets as seabirds deserted the skies for nests and perches. Gaboul sat once more in his banqueting hall, chin in claws as he slouched across the table and spoke to his bell.
You're getting dirty now, since there's no slaves to spit and polish your shiny hide. And that's the way it should be, big and dirty with a brassy voice. One day, the bell tower will be built, Then I'll string you up there and make you sing every time I tug the rope. I'll make you sing or be quiet, just as I please. What have you got to say to that, eh?
The great bell remained silent. Gabool sat watching it until his weighted eyelids began drooping over weary, blood-seared eyes. A ship in flames passed his vision, followed by another lying on its side in a creek overgrown by trees, and yet a third ship washed up and holed upon a reef. Bloodrig, Garthail, Saltar, and Orgai floated lifeless in the waves, sweeping across his fevered dream, dead rats all. Through the shifting grey mists, a huge armoured badger strode. Raising his sword, he struck. Gabool was awake once more, glaring his hatred across the table at the bell, whose very presence haunted his every moment.